Warning, you have just entered The Boldcast. Aiming at creating your best self, The Boldcast is hosted by David Kelly and Haristo Penchev. Is likely for you. Live your boldest life.
Welcome to the fourth episode of The Boldcast, everyone. It's, you know, we've been on the road this week. We're actually having quite an important week this week, right, Dave? You know, I've announced my book, you announced your new project. We are kind of really, you know, up to speed right now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we're doing bold things. That's why we have the bold cast, right?
Hey.
Boy, that wasn't cheesy or anything. No, but seriously, I think it's been a big week for both of us. And I love when people that I'm, you know, that are in my life that I'm friends with and stuff like that are doing big things. It's just, I feel like I feed off that energy, you know, so it's great to see, you know, in addition to you, I have a lot of other friends and, you know, business associates that are doing great things out too. So it just, spring is coming here in America. Things are getting better. So it's kind of like things feel good. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hopefully we won't jinx it, but everything is looking really bright
Please not do that. Yeah, I just eat my words here real quick. But for real though, I'm excited about what we're going to talk about today. So I know you brought this up to me, speaking of, you know, you with the book and then, you know, great example with Tethra now is the band that I'm a part of with the rebrand. You know, those are both those things, those decisions to you know, to write the book in the first place and choose your publisher and, you know, to make the rebrand in my case and stuff like that. Those are very important life choices. And I know that it's something you and I are extremely, extremely keen in on all the time is, you know, thinking through those processes. How do you make those life choices? You know, and are you the one making the life choices? So, you know, that's what we want to talk about today. And then in the second half of the episode, we're going to kind of transition and talk about why you should always stand up for yourself. And the cool thing about both these topics, I think they're very interrelated. So,
yeah,
you know, that's kind of where our thought process is on this one. So why don't you kick it off, Haristo? How do you go about making major life choices? What is your process for doing that? And how has that process changed?
Oh, God. I mean, you know, I think that's the key word in this question. It's a process, you know?
Yes.
And I think everyone that is presented with the opportunity to adjust himself, you know, to adjust themselves to a certain option in terms of their personal development should acknowledge the fact that they're about to undergo a whole process in terms of experiencing the instinctive emotions that go to being presented with something new. That's something that, you know, threatens your comfort zone and threatens your, you know, current status. And, you know, transitioning from this stage to the point where you have to be very rational and objective towards, you know, the exact goals and the exact aim that you're targeting with the choices that you're going to make eventually. You know, so for me, especially when I was younger, it was very difficult to kind of, as I've said, to be objective.
Right.
Since I'm quite an emotional person, I was the first feeling that I've always experienced when I was presented with any kind of opportunity was just overwhelming. I would say hesitation, you know, because, and you know that I'm a person that is very much concentrated on details.
Yep.
I tend to be a bit more skeptical rather than a realistic, not even to mention a positive person.
No, right.
So I'm usually quite skeptic. Whenever I'm in a position to take any sort of a decision, I need to make sure that I'm taking the right option that minimizes my risks, that minimizes any potential negative outcomes, and the one that is not only suitable to the objective positive outcome of the said decision, but the one that is very much suitable to my personality as well.
Right.
So, as I've said in the beginning, it was very hard to do that. I always tend to kind of even panic about stuff, to overthink every single detail and not really be objective and rational towards the exact steps that I had to undertook with yeah. these respective opportunities.
It's understandable, though. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, this this presented me with the opportunity to really just improve myself, to improve my mentality and my mindset when it comes to this sort of cases. And, you know, with the time, I kind of started training myself. I kind of really pushed myself to be more objective, to kind of distance myself from my instinctive emotions and to just give myself and allow myself to spend some time to properly assess every single thing of the said opportunity and not just to overthink it, but just to aim to, you know, to assess it the right way. And, you know, I'm always giving this example. I think I've mentioned it before as well, but the most crucial moment of my life that, you know, showcased me the significance of this method is when I was presented with the first opportunity to interview a band, you
yeah.
know?
Yep.
That was the first big major point of my career. Yeah. I was offered to interview one of my most favorite bands. So, you know, for many people and probably for most of our listeners, it's a no-brainer, you know? Probably they wouldn't really understand what's the thing to worry about when you're presented with such an option. But for me, it was. You know, I can't even, I don't think I can even, you know, give a proper answer to why I was feeling that, to why I was experiencing this sort of, you know, hesitation, but it's just how it was, you know, probably.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
If you go back to our previous episode where we were discussing anxiety and just overall our specific mindset, you know, we are discussing in depth why exactly I was feeling this way. But in this particular situation, it was very hard for me to take this decision and to take advantage of this opportunity. But in the end of the day, I pushed myself to do it. And
yeah.
as I was explaining before, the outcome of this was absolutely amazing. It was absolutely fantastic. It was something that completely changed my life. And if it wasn't for this choice, I wouldn't be here. So after this whole experience, I've always stick to this specific, you yeah. know, case. It's pretty much as a case study to
right,
base
yeah.
all of my future decisions, you know.
Exactly.
To this day, I'm always presented with amazing opportunities that I'm always very hesitant about, but I'm always thinking about this first opportunity that I was presented with, and I'm thinking, you know, I was hesitant back then as well. I wasn't sure about it back then, but you know, I did the right thing. I took the right choice, and everything eventually paid off. So, you know, when I'm being presented with these sort of options nowadays, I just get back to my previous experiences. I make sure to distance myself from my emotions, because now I'm now in a position in my life where I can understand how my brain works
yeah,
in certain
yeah.
situations.
Self-awareness, man. It's super powerful.
Exactly. You know, I understand how I think. I understand what aspects of a certain opportunity trigger me
yeah.
in different
yeah.
ways. I know what triggers anxieties. I know what triggers hesitation. So, you know, I think, long story short, I think the most important thing, the most crucial and essential part of the whole process of making an important flight decision is to firstly really, really understand yourself. I think that's the main thing, because if you don't understand yourself, you'll never be able to assess which option and which opportunity is best for you. So I would always suggest to really understand yourself, to understand your priorities, to understand why you want certain things, why you act in certain ways, what aspects of life affect you in a specific way. Because when you have this information, you'll have the ability to, you know, properly approach the right opportunities for you. and to really, you know, pick and choose the right spots for you personally. But yeah, you know, again, it's a process. I don't think it's something that you should be very polarized about, in terms of, you know, there's so many people nowadays that are very, you know, as I've said, polarizing about the approach that you should undertake when it comes to stuff like that. You know, some of them are like, follow your gut, follow your instincts.
Some
of them are like, you know, you should be very theoretical and very mathematical when it comes to taking decisions. You should pinpoint every single part of it, and so on. And I think there's no universal answer to that.
That's so true, you know? Man. Yeah.
You should firstly understand yourself and see what's your middle ground, to see what works best for you. Because we're different personalities, so it wouldn't make sense if every one of us would have the same approach when it comes to life choices. But yeah, in general, I would suggest, however, that everyone should do and should take the options that are very important to them. You know, I think that's crucial.
I couldn't agree anymore with that, man. And, you know, and to me, it's something where, you know, you want to always make sure, no matter what the major life decision, even if it's a small decision, that, you know, you're the one making the decision. That you, the person who has to live with the outcome, whether positive or negative, you're the one making the decision. Because if it goes poorly in whatever decision you're making, and you weren't the one that made it, you're going to really hate yourself for it. And I've been on that side of things. You know, I talked in the last episode about, you know, making sure you're in the driver's seat. Or maybe it was two episodes ago. I can't remember at this point. But, you know, make sure you're in the driver's seat. And when it's your life, it's got to be you that's making the decision. Yeah. Because, and I've talked about this for a long, long time now. You know, I had, you know, when people, I think the first major life decision people have to make is when they graduate high school, and there's options at that point, right? Do I go to college? Do I go into the workforce? Do I pursue my dream? Do I do a combination of any of those three things, right? And, you know, when most people graduate college, high school, it seems as if they're kind of just following a path that's been put before them.
Yeah.
And, you know, in some ways I did that. And in some ways I didn't do that. You know, I always just kind of assumed that's what I was going to do, you know, and my parents have always said that to me too. It's like, well, you never said you didn't want to. Here's the thing. It's always easier to look backwards in hindsight and be like, oh, I wish I would have done something this way or another. But that's a very wrong way of looking at things, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. What the correct way to look at things is to understand now how to make better decisions. So the way I look at things now, and I've looked at for a couple years now, is I'm going to start with an end goal in mind. Like, you know, let me just use an example of this. If I'm going to go fly from, you know, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania to come meet you in London, right? Mm-hmm. When I get in the plane, I better damn well hope that pilot knows the coordinates of where we're flying to, because I don't want to just end up in some random island in the middle of the Atlantic or in Greenland or whatever. I want to go to London, and I'm trusting that pilot is going to be able to pilot that plane, get it off the ground in Pittsburgh, and then land in London, because my goal is to get to London and then meet up with you or whoever else and carry out what we have to do. Correct. Mm-hmm. So now life works that way too. If I know, very simple example here, that I want my song to hit 50,000 streams by, you know, the end of day two or, you know, week one, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Well, set the goal and then work backwards from it. What are the steps I need to take to get to that goal, right? So the easiest example I could use, though, is, let's just say, weight loss. If you want to lose 20 or 30 pounds in the course of, you know, before, like, you know, you go to the beach or something like that, and you decide, hey, I'm going to lose 20 or 30 pounds. And then your actions don't equate to that. You eat cake every day. You don't exercise. You don't, you know, do anything that's going to help you get there. And then you get to the end of the time and you go to the beach, you're like, well, why didn't I lose any of this weight? Well, it's because your actions did not follow up the decision you made. So there's two really good books that I recommend everybody read that talk about this a lot. The first one's called The Compound Effect, and the second one's called The Slight Edge. Very similar books. Honestly, you could pick, close your eyes, flip a coin, pick one of them. They're very similar. But it's essentially what they talk about is you have to make the decision. And again, so if you know, I don't care how ridiculous the goal is, how simple you might feel it is, or how, you know, difficult you might feel it is, the goal is to set the goal and to work backwards.
Yes.
And when you work backwards, it's like almost like reverse engineering. How do you know where you want to get, and you want to work backwards from that point, and you want to take the steps along the way to get there, and to focus on the simple little tasks in between point A and point B, right? So like, and another great example of this is flying, actually. when pilots fly, their destination is London, right? If they're flying from, let's say, Philadelphia to London. But along the way, they have these waypoints that are coordinates, and they touch up on those points. And when they get to those points, they confirm that they're on course, right? Because you could be completely off course and not know that as you're flying. Well, that's how these things we're talking about work. You know, if you want to be a successful business owner, if you want to be a successful musician, you want to, you know, get in shape and things like that, you might have the best intentions and you might make the decision. But all that matters after that is if you continue to make the decision to put in the effort on a day-to-day basis to get to that point. I watch so many people who make decisions and they never follow up on that action.
Yeah.
Never follow up on that. But here's the thing. You have to know you want it. You have to, like, you have to know for sure that you want to accomplish this goal that you're setting. Because if you yourself are not sold and convinced on it, then you will not put in the action and the effort to get there. You know, and I've had this happen to me many times where I thought I actually wanted to do something and I really didn't. And I made the decision to do it and I didn't follow up on it. And I'm like, well, actually, you know, I might just not want to do this as much as I thought I did.
Yeah.
But in the case of, you know, like music and business, fitness, these things I've been involved with for a very long time now. And I've made a decision that I want to get somewhere in, you know, 10, 20 years, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And I'm willing to put in the daily effort. You know, I'm willing to spend a Friday night in working on something, or a Saturday night in on working on something, and say no to my friends that asked me to go out for a drink or whatever it is. You know, I'm willing to do that. And I've been willing to do that since I was 18 years old, right? Mm-hmm. Other people aren't willing to do that. The reason that it's not like I'm special or something. The reason I'm willing to do that is because I'm working backwards from a goal, right? So if you don't have the goal, or you don't have the foresight to see where you want to go, then working backwards and putting in the daily effort doesn't apply because you don't know where you're going. So, you know, I guess I'm talking about something that's slightly different. It's about, you know, putting in the effort to follow up the decisions, these important decisions we're making. However, they are very related to one another, you know, and I always come back to the fact that it's like, you know, long after your parents, your friends, your grandparents, all these people are gone, you, the person who is making the decision, you have to live with the outcome. Yes. Regardless of whether it is good or bad, you have to live with it. And every time I've made the decision, even if it's been a total and utter disastrous failure, I could still live with it because it's me making the decision.
Yes.
And, you know, on the same flip side, when you succeed and you do something well, but it wasn't you that made the decision, it's harder to celebrate that win. You know what I mean?
Yes. It's insane because... I pretty much, in my book, there's a whole chapter that pretty much described everything you just said, you know? it's pretty much exactly the same, and I completely agree. You know, the first thing that you've mentioned that I can't agree more with is the fact that you always need to be responsible for what you do. You always need to feel responsible for what you do. Because, as you've said, the worst thing about a person is if you can start blaming circumstances and other factors for the results of your decisions. You don't want that. This is the most unhealthy thing that happened to one's mentality, I think.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Yep. And at the same time, as you said, if you achieve and succeed in something, you should be able to, you know, appreciate yourself for doing that. Because yes, otherwise, yes, it just doesn't make sense at all.
Yeah, you just don't feel good, as good about it as you would have had you made the decision, you know? Like, you want to be the autonomous dictator of your life. You have to live with the outcome, like I said, be it positive or negative. So you better make damn sure that you're happy with it. And, you know, it brings up another point. When you're happy, the people around you are going to be happier, right? Like, if you, there's no point in making a decision that's going to make you miserable and then make everybody else miserable around you. Because, you know, I think I talked about the book, The Element, on here before. And that's really what they talk about is, you know, the author talks about is you, when you're in your element, when you're thriving and feeling good in your life, just how I was talking about, Hristo, when we came on here, you had a great week, I had a great week. We have a lot of great energy flowing here. That just is positive. That radiant, like, as you know, scientifically, it's proven that negativity is more is more contagious than positivity. But you know, spend some time around somebody super positive, and you'll just, your mood just goes right up. It's not not blind optimism. It's not that. It's more or less the energy that you have, and you bring into the day, and you bring into the things you're involved with. People feed off of that stuff, and they want to be around people like that because there's too much negativity. But at the end of the day, again, if you're the one that's going to be miserable because you're forced to make a major life decision that you didn't want, who's that good for? Nobody. Not good for you, not good for your family, not good for your friends, not good for the world at large.
Exactly, you know, and this was actually the next point I was planning to address as well, because I learned the hard way the significance of this mental concept, you know, because I've shared before that, you know, I'm coming from a family with very strong, you know, expertise in the construction industry and so on.
Yep.
So I've always been pushed to do the same to a level where from very young age, I was feeling responsible to not disappoint my family.
Yeah.
You know, to a level where, you know, I would completely neglect my personality. I would completely neglect my own desires and ideas for success. And I would just blindly follow, you know, everything that I was believing would make everyone around me happy. You know. But with the time, you know, I understood that if I want the people that who really care about me to be happy, I need to be happy as well, just to prove your point.
Yes.
You know, I just understood that if I want to, you know, to make sure that my parents or my family are just satisfied and they're feeling well, I need to feel well as well.
Yeah.
And I need to be egoistical when it comes to that, you know, because again, as you've said, if I'm happy, if I lead a positive life, if I'm successful at what I do, eventually, you know, the people who care about you would share the same experience too. So that's why, you know, my point was that it's very important when it comes to decisions of this sort to actually trust yourself and to always consider only your well-being. In terms of, you know, don't do things that you believe you need to do just for the sake of other people's expectations or whatever. You have to be true to yourself, and you have to make sure that you're setting yourself in a position that will help you to actually have positive impact on other people. And you would never have this opportunity if you are not in a good situation yourself.
And that's, you know, and you're kind of alluding to this going to discuss here, which is, you know, standing up for yourself. And you know, but you brought up something that I want to actually double down on real quick, because I think people could take it out of context. You said you should only be considering your own, I can't remember if you said like emotions or concerns or what it was, your own, you know, your own self. And a lot of people hear that and go, well, that's selfish, you know, like why, you know. Here's the thing though. I think just in my opinion, you have to be selfish to be selfless. Because if you, again, it goes back to how you're feeling. Like if you come home, let's say that, Haristo, you were, you know, 45 years old and you had a wife and like two kids or whatever, and you hated your life and you were coming home and you were just so pent up frustrated about a number of things that you're just lashing out at your wife or your kids or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And they didn't deserve that, right? So the thing is, it's like you're not directly frustrated about them. You're directly frustrated about your life situation. Yeah, and, you know, you might be you might have a lot of pent up anger and just disdain for the fact that, like, at point in time, your father forced you to go to law school. And then, you know, it's just been one series of events where it's like, you were never the one making the decision, right?
Yeah.
I'm just using you as the example. This is I've watched this happen to so many people I know.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I don't care if it's your father, if you're listening to this, if it's your father, your mother, your grandfather, your boss, your girlfriend, I don't care who it is. You have to always stand up for yourself. Because I got news for you. There's nobody else that's going to stand up for yourself.
No,
there's nobody else that's going to do it for you. So now, when I say stand up for yourself, I'm not talking about being an asshole. I'm talking about being respectful to yourself and to the person that you're standing up to. There's nothing nobody will ever lose respect for the right person, I should say, will never lose respect for you if you look them in the eye and when they question you about the choices you're making in your life, you say, hey, I understand what you're saying. I hear all your concerns. However, this is why I want to do what I want to do. And the best way for me to get there is to take these actions that I'm taking right now. And I have, the reason I know this to be the case is because I am friends with and I've researched this and I've spent time doing this and I feel confident about going about it that way. Now, if you don't like that, I understand that. However, this is my life. It's not your life. I'm not telling you what to do with your life, but you somehow feel the need to tell me or the authority to tell me what to do. But, you know, you have to understand that these people usually most of the time, depending on who it is, they just want what's best for you. But you got to stand up for yourself. Because, and here's the other thing, if you don't do that, if you make a habit of not standing up for yourself, your life is just going to be one constant vicious cycle of you just taking it from somebody else.
Yeah.
Don't take it. Give it. Right?
Yeah.
I'm not saying do that to other people, but stand up for yourself and never be afraid to do that. No matter who is challenging you, should never be afraid of that.
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, and the best thing about this sort of mentality is that it unlocks so many of your characteristics, features that you haven't even really thought that you possess.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Because once you start believing in yourself to a point where you are confident in expressing yourself and everything that is forming your identity, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the situation, you get to the best version of yourself. And that's so empowering.
Yep.
You know, and I'm sure that you can relate to that as well.
Oh,
It's just so crucial for every individual to go through this process. Because, as I've said, it unlocks a completely new version of yourself. And it just in general, if you want to be successful, if you want to be happy, you have to be yourself.
Yeah.
Because this is, you know, I think that's such an important factor and aspect of happiness. Because you can't be happy if you're not satisfied with your own personality. And If you're not showcasing this personality to its full extent in front of other people in other situations as well, this is clear indication that you are not in a position to find your true self and find happiness in general as a whole, you know?
Yeah.
To your point, I completely agree. And, you know, to actually add to it, I think from other people's perspective, you actually gain respect when you do that.
That was my next point.
Yeah, because so many people are afraid to do that just because they don't want to give the wrong impression, I guess. But what these people should know is that you can only gain respect and positives when you do that.
And, you know, the way you gain the respect is, going back to what I was saying before, you tell them like it is, you look them in the eye, but then you follow it up, right? So I have a perfect example of this is last year after I came home from the European Galactic Empire tour, I made a lot of decisions when I was on that tour. It just gave me a lot of time to reflect and, you know, think about my life and stuff. And I came back home, and at that point in time, I was, you know, I had two part-time jobs, and I was also doing like marketing work on the side, and then I had the band, and you know, there's just a lot of stuff going on. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? What my goals in my life are to have a business that allows me to tour and to, you know, do these things and to become, you know, financially wealthy and financially free myself and all this different stuff. And I said, what I'm doing right now is not going to get me there. Right.
Yeah.
And the reason that I had chose to keep working those jobs and stuff like that was like, well, okay, so I'll just wait till I get enough clients to before I leave and then go off and do it on my own or whatever. Guys, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
Okay. You have to make the decision. And the reason I'm confident in saying this is because I've watched other people I know who are business owners do the same thing. You don't wait until the reward comes and then you make the change. You make the change and then you go chase after what you need. That's just how life works. I hate that. I wish it was the other way. And like everybody wants to hear that, right? Like, you know, most people want to go and come out. I can't tell you how many people I know who I went to college with who said, I'm going to start a business, but I'm going to work, you know, I'm going to save up money and then I'm going to leave the job. And then I don't see it happening. And it's not like I'm judging those people, but the problem is you're waiting for something. You have to take the initiative to do that.
Yeah.
So again, it goes back to the respect thing. When you say, like, if I showed up when I was 18 years old, right, when I was freshly starting on Parallel Height, and I was making it vocally known that I want to make music my career, and you know, I come from a family, as I told you, it's very similar to yours. You know, everybody's very successful. My dad has seven brothers, including himself, seven brothers and sisters who are all very successful people, very high up people in business. Same with my mom's side. I mean, they're all extremely successful people. So when I was telling them, hey, I want to make a career in music, they looked at me like I had like four eyes, right? Yeah. Like seriously, like, I mean, what the hell is this? You're your father's son who, you know, you're from like a small community in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, blah, blah, blah. You get my point. Yeah. But here's the thing. I kept speaking it like it was, and I kept following that action up, right? Now, here's the thing. Music right now is not my total career, but it's part of my career. Mm-hmm. And the reason that the family, everybody had come to, even if they don't agree with my choice, they respect it because I follow it up constantly.
Yeah.
And they hear it and they see the growth in the fan base. They see the growth in me as a musician and they respect that. And the same is true of my business. You know, my uncle on my mom's side is like I'm extremely close to him. He's like a second father to me. He's somebody I want to get on the podcast speaking of. And he's somebody that I talk to regularly, you know, for advice and mentorship and stuff like that. Cause he himself is an entrepreneur. And, you know, if I talk to him every single time and there was never, I didn't get more clients, I didn't have more, you know, growth in terms of like being a writer and being a musician and all that different stuff. He would tell me, hey, you're just kind of full of shit. You're living in fantasy land. You're not following up on yourself like this. You need to consider doing something else. But that's never the case because every time I talk to him, there's improvements in one way or another. Yes. Sure, there's sometimes setbacks. And he gets that because remember, entrepreneur is bearer of risk. That's what that term means. So there is always inherently risk in any of these things. But I'm always following up what I'm doing and what I talk about doing. And that's why, and when you do that and when you constantly follow that up, guess what you build? You build confidence. Dude. So the next time somebody challenges you, you are way more confident and stand your ground. Yeah. And I'm telling you, there's nothing more freeing than that, ever. Because I've always been somebody who's good at faking that I'm confident about something. But now when you're really confident about something, it shows and people can pick that up. People can read that.
Oh, it shows massively. You know, even subconsciously, as I've said, it's it pretty much transforms you into a whole another person. You know, at least this is how I felt it, you know, because obviously during my education, I was presented in certain situations that I was never confident about because this was just not my forte, right? Once you start trusting your capabilities, once you start acknowledging your talents and your true characteristics, it's such a relieving process, I would say. You know, it was quite therapeutic for me as well. A very crucial point for me was during my TEDx talk. Because obviously, before that, as I was explaining here, I was obviously nervous. You know, excited more like. But there was this point just in the middle of my lecture where I just, you know, experienced this massive burst of confidence in myself. You know, I was in the middle of the hall. Everyone was watching me and I was talking and explaining something that was, you know, born from my mind. It was something that came from me. It was something that I've experienced and I was showcasing to other people. And in this split seconds, you know, I never felt more powerful in my life to this day, you know?
That's incredible.
And this experience just unlocked so much more in me. You know, from this moment on, I just realized that I have the capabilities to attack whatever I want. Yeah. You know? And I acknowledge the fact that this is what makes me successful. It's just being me and being confident in my own expertise.
Yes.
You know? And this was actually proven even further with my activity as a manager, as someone who works with bands, because, you know, essentially my work is to provide my expertise and to provide my clients with honest opinion, as you very well know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm very aware of that.
But the thing is, you know, the example I'm giving is that, you know, can you imagine if whenever I talk with a client, I would just tell them what they want to hear all the time without being honest with them, without providing them with my honest thoughts on the matter, right?
Yep.
That would be completely disastrous, I would say.
Yeah, and you wouldn't retain clients.
Exactly, right? Because no one would respect me. Yeah. Because for me, you know, I've experienced the need of being honest and being true and being confident in my own opinion because firstly, I needed to do it. And then I started enjoying it.
No, that's exactly right, man. Yes.
And this is where you really unlock your potential. Because, you know, whatever you're doing with your life, regardless of what your activity is or what your occupation is, you know, obviously in the beginning stages of that, you'd always be hesitant. You wouldn't be confident in what you're doing. You'll always be questioning yourself in some areas of what you do.
Of course.
But once you know, self-assess yourself and realize the potential and the capacity of what you bring to the table as a personality, this is where you become unstoppable. And I don't want to sound over dramatic with
But it's so true, though.
Yeah.
It sounds like, you know, in some ways we're speaking in these like large, grandiose way or something.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's not because you and I live it, right?
Like, exactly.
Going back to the making important decisions thing. This is something, again, like you start at the end point and you work back. Like with your TED talk, you knew, I want to make this statement. So how am I going to make this statement?
Yes.
And you were confident in making the statement because you spent years in developing what the topic of the speech was about. So if I handed you a topic and had you go out there and you didn't believe in it and you didn't talk about it, like you could put it together and probably do a decent job, but you wouldn't feel like you did a good job because there's such a difference between selling it and just doing it. And those are two very different things. But, you know, the one example I would use is, you have to, as you and I always say, you have to understand yourself. You have to understand where you're going, where you want to go, And listen, there's a good chance a lot of you listening to this or watching this, you don't know what you want to do. You don't know where you want to go. And that's fine. But I will say this. The worst thing you can do, at least in where I live, you know, because I don't know what the situation is with like Bulgaria and stuff. But the worst thing you could do is not know what you want to do and make some large commitment to pay $30,000 a year to go to school for something that you don't necessarily believe in. Because guess what? When you graduate, you got to pay that debt back. And you know what the worst thing you can do is to put yourself in a situation where you come out, you hate what you went to school for, but you have to get a job
to do it
in that field or, you know, somewhere else, something like that. But and guess what, guys? In America, 44% of college graduates are underemployed. So that means even if you don't like what you're doing, you have about a 1 in 2 chance of actually getting a job in that, right? Mm-hmm. Now, there's some fields, of course, that are more certain where that getting the degree is going to directly equate with that. I'll use an example. My sister is in the medical field, and what she's going to school for, it's like a surefire thing. She will come out of school and she will get a very good job. And there's no, and to top that off, there's no way to get into that field other than having the degree that she's going to get, right?
Yeah.
Now, in my case, being an entrepreneur and being a musician and stuff like that, there's no prerequisite other than doing a really good job at doing what you're doing. So your best thing to do is to develop your skills and develop your networking abilities to be able to get to those places and get to those things. And I got news for you guys. I've been through college in marketing, okay? Business, my degree was in business administration with a concentration in marketing. I own a marketing agency. I got news for you. I don't use anything that I was taught. And to top it off, I have never once been asked by, I sometimes work with music clients on the side too. I have never been asked by a music client or a business client if I have a degree in marketing. Do you know why? Because they don't give a shit. What they care about is, can you get me results? That's all I care about. And because there is a lot of people out there who are really good marketers who never took a lick of a class in marketing ever. And you know how I learned how to market? Was marketing my music. Because imagine this. You learn best by doing. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
Like what a mind-blowing thing. What a mind-blowing thing. Which is why, again, why I said at the beginning, and I think I said this in the first episode, one of my biggest reasons for starting this podcast and wanting to do this was not to sit here and to be like, well, I have all this knowledge and I'm going to pass it along. What a glorious thing that I'm choosing to do this. That's not at all. It's me talking and learning. As I'm speaking, I'm learning more about what I know latently in my mind. Yes. And I'm being able to connect that with my thoughts and direct that and speak that into the world. I'm learning as I'm doing that. And because you learn when you do. You don't learn. I don't learn how to be a better vocalist by watching videos on YouTube and sitting there with my arms folded and going, well, that's pretty cool. I'm just going to let that sink in and then I'm going to just, you know, go back. No, you practice it. Yeah. You have to learn from others, sure, but you have to do as you're learning. And what my biggest gripe with business in college, you know, college degrees in business, because guys, I didn't go to like a community college. I went to University of Pittsburgh, which is a top 50, maybe top 20 business school in America. The thing is, it's all abstract. It's not reality. They're teaching you how to work for a major Fortune 500 company. So if you want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be a musician, you want to do any of these things, don't do that. List, go to the people, go look at Gary Vaynerchuk. And like, don't take my word for it. Go listen to people who are super successful. They're going to tell you exactly what I'm telling you because they get it. They're there. Nobody's going to tell you, hey, yeah, I would say, you know, go get a degree and then get a go to graduate school and this, that. If you want to, you know, make 70 grand a year, that's a great thing. That's what you should do. And what I'm saying does not apply to you. But if you want to be somebody who owns their own business or does something out of the ordinary that's not exactly a traditional path, go listen to the people who are where you want to be. See what advice they're giving you because they already went through all of this.
Yeah.
So you got to listen to those people. Yeah. Wow. I just wanted a big rant there.
It was a great one though. And it's completely correct if you ask me as well. It's just, you know, it's just not rational for you, depending on the objectives you have, to choose the right approach to them, you know, and I think everyone should acknowledge that.
Yes.
But I actually wanted to double down on a few things because I think this, you know, podcast would be the great place and time to do it. You know, obviously we are talking about and we're mentioning a lot about understanding yourself and understanding what you want to do. And I think, you know, for the listener, this might sound as a very general thing. I know that this is a process that it's way easier said than done. But, you know, when it comes to understanding yourself, and what we mean by that is just to, you know, really acknowledge the things that make you feel in a certain way, you know, find what makes you happy, what brings you joy, what brings you negative energy, what makes you sad, and so on, and base your choice for your future development on that, you know, because obviously a very big problem nowadays, as you've mentioned, is the fact that so many people don't know what they want to do, you know, and this is a perfect result of the fact that obviously they don't understand themselves, that in their mind, there's so many conflicting thoughts in terms of what brings them joy, what is rational, what is accepted by society, what's the expectation from their family or whatever the case might be. So at some point, they just get washed into translation and they just get this sort of big chaotic mess in their head and they don't know what to do. So for everyone listening, you know, I would suggest you find the thing that makes you happy, you know, that brings you joy. For me personally, that was the first time when I communicated with one of my favorite artists. You know, just brought me instinctive, clear, positive joy. Yes. I felt accepted. I felt in peace due to the fact that I was communicating with someone who understood me. And it brought me satisfaction because of the fact that I was happy with my role and with what I was producing. So back to everything that we were discussing earlier, when you have this knowledge and when you have the clear idea of what are the aspects of life that, you know, affect you in a certain way, use this and don't be afraid to do it in the process of taking decisions for your upcoming life.
Absolutely.
Because this is how it should be done, I think.
And, you know, one of the biggest things, and I talk about this a lot just because it's so intriguing to me, is, you know, one of the reasons that a lot of people are afraid to stand up for themselves and make these life decisions and make choices for themselves that they want that are kind of terrifying in a lot of ways is because of fear. And, you know, going back to, I've talked about this before, I believe on here, to, you know, the sense of tribalism, right? Where you don't want to be ostracized, and your brain is wired. Your instinctual, I can't remember what part of the brain, so I don't want to mess it up. But you're wired to want to be a part of the tribe, right? So anything that's gonna put you outside of that tribe, you know, is gonna make you feel bad because you know what happened before when that would happen, when we lived in the hunter and gatherer times, was that you lived in small bands of people and you all relied on each other. So if you literally got kicked out of that tribe, your chances of survival were not very good. So our brains and our biology and physiology became and evolved to want to do things to fit in, right? So like that's why people are always trying to, you know, like you, if you just, I love doing this when I'm out at bars and stuff like that. I do it all the time. I'm always observing people. People, you know, you'll watch your friend who you just had a conversation with in the car on the way there. They're saying one thing, and then they go into the group and they say something completely different, and they act completely differently. You're like, why are they doing this? Yeah. It's because people have a desire to want to fit in, right? Mm-hmm. And let's be honest. If you think for one moment that you don't want to fit into a group, you're wrong. It's just, what group do you want to fit into? What community do you want to be accepted by? And now in today's world, because we don't live in hunter-gatherer times anymore, we have the choice. Who do we want to be accepted by? Who do we want to become a part and be in that tribe. And mm-hmm. some of us are going to be in multiple tribes. We have our family, we have our professional tribe, we have our friends, we have our friends that are business friends, and you know, all that different stuff. We have all these different tribes. And the worst thing you can do is try to appease everybody, because you're never going to do that. You're never going to do that. And that's the thing. People, you know, you like people pleasers and stuff like that. Yeah, all of us are aiming to please somebody and to be accepted by somebody, but it's about making sure it's the right people. So if you have to look your Uncle Joe in the face, in the eyes when he says, "Well, Haristo, I mean, how are you going to afford to pay for your rent and your groceries and everything when you're making, you know, commission or whatever, you know, however it is that you're going to make money? How are you going to afford to do that?" You say, "Well, Uncle Joe, I understand you're concerned. You've worked a salary job for 35 years and you've lived comfortably and stuff like that. But there's not only do I want to do this, there's a lot of people who actually do this already. Yeah. It's not like I'm trying to fly my own rocket into space. Yeah. You know, like there is people who already do this, Uncle Joe. And, you know, I want to be one of those people. And I've done my due diligence and I do it on a daily basis to work that." How stupid would it be to just appease your Uncle Joe? You said, "Well, no, actually, I don't want to do that anymore. I'm just going to go work a job like you did because that's what I want to do." And you're lying. You're lying to him. You're lying to yourself. And Uncle Joe, as much as you might love him and he cares for you, he's not the person that you're trying to get into, you know, their circle of. He's just your uncle. Or, you know, I'm just using this example, but you shouldn't care what he thinks about that.
Yeah.
You know, you want him to, and your Uncle Joe and these people, the people who truly love and care about you, they're going to respect and love you no matter what you do with your life. Yeah. As long as you're not hurting yourself or hurting other people, they will love and respect you. And people who don't love and respect you because you're doing something they don't like, I got news for you. They don't love or respect you. Yeah. They don't care about you. So stop trying to make them care about you. Do what you want to do. And on top of that, you will attract the right people. Yes. I've watched this myself. I mean, even, you know, look for example, you, Haristo, you came across our music, you found us, and look at what's happened. Yeah. You and I started a podcast together. We've had great success with music and stuff, and we have a lot of other plans in terms of business. We have so many different ideas. Had I never made that choice to just keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing, and right before you came to me, there was almost a choice where the band almost broke up right before then. And it's just always so interesting to me how these things work. And guys, you just got to keep pushing. You have to keep doing these things and believing in yourself. And as I'm saying this, there's gonna be a lot of nights when you're going to sleep and you feel you have anxiety and you're upset and you might be crying depending on how emotional you are. But those, I promise you, those nights and those things like that are what's gonna build your character, and your character is gonna directly impact how successful you become. So it's not easy, but it's so worth it. And right on the other side of that fear is everything that you've ever wanted in your life.
Exactly. I mean, I honestly can't anything else at this point, you know. And I think this, you know, everything you've said just directly responds to the previous topics that we're discussing, because these sort of tough times that you would definitely experience if you go to the entrepreneurial route is part of the process of taking the right decisions.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Exactly.
Right. I want to look up this quote as you're doing it. Keep going. I'm sorry. Because it's so good.
Yeah. No problem. I was just saying that the other part is that, you know, to go back to your example with the Uncle Joe thing, you know, the thing is that, again, to the previous point that we did, in situations like this one, you should, again, stand up to yourself, you know?
Yes.
And you should show all of these people that you are confident in what you do, in what you will achieve eventually. And once you do that, people will give you the respect that you want from them as well.
Yes.
So everything is a process. But as you've said, you should trust the process and you should commit to the process if you want the result. Yep. Because if you're not ready to do that, if you're not ready to go to the different stages of this whole process, it's, you know, it's just pointless.
Yeah.
It's just pointless.
I couldn't agree anymore, man. And, yeah. you know, the quote I was thinking of, it's actually Jim Carrey, if mm-hmm. you're familiar with him.
Yeah, of course,
and
yeah.
He said, I love this. I heard this years ago, and this is fantastic. He said, my father could have been a great comedian, but he didn't believe that was possible for him. So he made a conservative choice and instead got a job as an accountant. When I was 12 years old, he was let go from that safe job. Our family had to do whatever we could to survive. I learned many great lessons from my father, not the least of which is that you can fail at what you don't want, so you might as well take a chance on doing what you love. So the reason I bring that up and the reason that quote, I always think about that is because so many times we think that if we take the path of least resistance and we just do the traditional path that's laid out before mm-hmm. us, we're just not going to have any problems, right? We're not going to have any, you know, there's not going to be any turmoil or anything like that. And the best example I could give of that right now is that, and this is a topic for a whole nother day, but, you know, automation is going to replace nearly a billion jobs worldwide by 2030, okay? Yeah. And that's not me. That's McKinsey research. Look it up. Yeah. And here's the thing. So if you think by taking this job that's, you know, conservative, like this, the conservative approach of taking a job that's going to be there, you believe it's going to be there, it's not, and then you're let go in 10 years and you don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. You know, not saying that's going to happen to you, but that could happen to you, right? There's a very good chance. And your company that you think that you're getting hired by is such a safe place and this and that, you think you're going to work there for 30 years and then they go under, you know, 5 years later.
Yeah,
guys, there's no safe approach. You believe it's safer because that's the way you're being conditioned to look at these things. But I think it's risky, in my opinion, to put my career in somebody else's hands.
Yeah,
I always, you know, even like Chris, I look at how our dynamic is with you managing us. Yeah. You know, you're our manager, but it's not like I'm just like, well, you're going to take care of everything. You know, like you know. We have a very good dynamic with how we go about mm-hmm. it. We collaborate on things.
Yes.
The part of a manager for an artist that's our size is to have that outside. It's like a producer, right? You have that outside business mind who's looking at things objectively because I'm the artist, because I'm the one who's emotionally invested in this. Yes. I can't have the objectivity at times that Harista, like how you do, right? So same thing as a producer when you're writing music. When you're recording music, the producer is an outside, non-biased view, right? So the thing is, when you're in that day-to-day thing, you don't see that all the time. But I would never, ever just be like, all right, Haristo, you know, this is what we're paying you to do, man. So you better do it. And that's what it like. And I'm sure you work with bands that are like that. And I guarantee you that the results have not been good.
Not at all. And by the way, you know, to get back to the Jim Carrey quote, I'll actually give you a great example from my personal life that perfectly represents the meaning of this quote as well. You know, my uncle is an amazing person. You know, I would say that I have very close relationship with him as the one that you have with your uncle. They are very similar in sense of that my uncle is very successful person. You know, he had great career in the construction industry, very profitable one as well, very influential one. In general, he's very knowledgeable. He's very well respected person here. You know, not many people here know that my uncle, when he was in high school, he was very much into music, you know.
Right.
He was involved in bands that, you know, at the age of 17, he got the opportunity to tour outside the country. You know, that's before 89. So, you know, things here weren't that, you know, easy at that time. So he was able to tour, he was able to record his own music, he was able to share stages with some very big names as well at this early age. And right after he graduated high school, he was about to start his university degree, which was very similar to mine. It's pretty much civil engineering too.
Okay.
So just before that, him and his band had a concert, and after the concert they were approached by a person who offered them to for them to be part of, you know, of his new project. So basically he was a manager and he was offering them the opportunity to manage them, to give them pretty much a record label deal, and to pretty much everything to go from there. So my uncle, having a background very similar to mine in terms of coming from a small town, coming from a middle class family, you know, he was very hesitant about it. He obviously thought about it a lot. He was very strongly thinking about it. But in the end of the day, and considering the specifics of this specific time period in the country, he chose obviously to, you know, avoid this opportunity,
yeah,
to go to university, to graduate. And obviously he had an amazing career with that. But at the same time, things happened that the set manager that offered him this opportunity found another musician and another musicians and formed a band who is pretty much right now probably the biggest rock band in the history of the country.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And at this stage, my uncle, who is like close to 65,
yeah,
his biggest love is still music.
Yeah.
He still rehearses with his friends. He still plays. Awesome. Occasionally they do shows. He, you know, he and I was just talking that he would like me to help him to record his album.
Oh,
to record
awesome.
The
yeah.
songs that he wrote almost 40 years ago. You know? And
wow.
This is, you know, this is his biggest passion up to date.
Yeah.
This is everything that he wanted to do. And I can say for a fact that everything that he achieved with his conventional career, all the money that he got, all the respect that he got, he would be ready to change that to go to the musician path. You know?
Yep.
And I'm saying that because this whole example proved to me that I need to do what I want to do. You know, and that being interested in music or being interested in whatever you are interested in as well is not a momentum thing. You know, you shouldn't treat that as some sort of a momentum desire that will just go away. It's
no way,
it's
man.
Not a phase. Yeah. It's,
yeah,
not,
it's
a
not
phase.
A phase. Nope.
You know,
you love what you love. You can't change
exactly. it. Exactly. So you should approach it, because I've seen many people who've experienced situations like my uncle's. And there's nothing worse and nothing more disheartening from seeing people who dedicated their lives to the wrong thing. That's disheartening. And if you see an example like that in your personal life as well, you will perfectly understand what we are talking about here. You know, because this will completely change everything, the way you think and everything around you. So trust your instincts, do what you're worth to do, and be confident in your capabilities and in your choices.
Yeah, man. And just like I said, and we've been talking about the whole time, you know, understand yourself and look out into the future and spend time. The other problem is people don't spend enough time thinking about what they want to do. They're, you know, like, we're just so caught up in like a moment-to-moment kind of culture where, you know, we're just not thinking about the future and things like that, and we're so you know, or we're thinking about it too much, one of the two, but not in the right ways. And just think about what you want. What is the thing that you want to do? And you might not like, and like we've talked about before, you know, with me, it's helping people, it's leaving a legacy, and the things that I do, whether it's business or nonprofits or music, they are tactical implementations of my meta why, if you will. So that's the thing, like, you might not know exactly what it is you want to do, but you might have a goal of what you want your life to be. Work backwards from that. How can you get there? What do you love that will help you get to that point? And if you develop that why, man, there's just nothing's gonna stop you. And I want to live in a world where, you know, as many people as possible feel the way you did when you were giving that TED talk, you know? And my greatest fear is that, like, you know, a lot of parents and in the education systems and things like that, they don't encourage their kids and the kids of our societies to, you know, to keep experimenting with really what makes them feel alive. And, you know, because it's funny to me, and this is such an obvious thing, and I don't know why it's not taught more, is that amazingly, when you love something, you do a better job at it. So, and you get better at it, and then therefore, down the line, you can make more money doing it. I mean, that's so obvious to me. Yeah. It's like so stupid that I even have to say that. But like, I know that I, you know, it's like I've said that to other people who just don't think how we do, how you and I do, and a lot of you guys listening to this do, and they're like amazed by that. It's like, wow, you just, like amazingly, when you don't like doing something and you don't want to do that job, your morale and the output you put into that is just never going to be as good as it would be if you were putting your success. Like, so if you think for a minute that you're going to go take a job that you don't like in a field you don't like, and you're somehow going to become successful in that field, you are so full of shit. Yes. I don't even know how to explain it. You're full of shit. So what you should do is, no matter what the sacrifice you have to make is, if you love something, you feel a burning passion for it, then you should spend the time and spend the sacrifice to put the time in to get to that point you want to get to. Because guess what? That time's going to pass anyway. That time's going to pass. So you're either going to spend it doing what you don't like, or you're going to spend it suffering and sacrificing and doing what you do like. And maybe you won't have to sacrifice that much. In my case with music and the time period of where we are now, there's a lot of sacrifice to be made with music. Just because of the time period, the life, the way that the music industry is now, just so happens that's the way it is. So that's why I had to develop doing other things too that I already love. I already love marketing. So again, like I didn't start and say I want to do a marketing company. I said I love marketing. I love doing this. I love working with people. Mm-hmm. So I said then I should start a marketing company.
Yeah,
that's how it works. You know,
it's as easy as that. It's really as easy as that. And you know, back to your point where you were describing why taking the route to a conventional job is not the most objective and rational decision in the future as well. You know, I'm always giving this example too. You know, if you start off a conventional job, and as you said, chances are that in the next 20, 30 years, there's a bigger chance for you to get dropped off and be on the street at some point. It's just as easy as that. You know, there's risk sticking to it rather than being concentrated on your own future. Because I'm always saying that, okay, you start a job in a big company, you're getting a certain amount of people. In 20 years, you know, let's say someone in the office catches you that, you know, you're drinking while you're working, or you mess something, really insignificant, and you're fired, right?
Yeah, right.
So you dedicated like 20 years of your life to that, and you're on the street with what?
Yeah.
What?
Nothing.
And if you use the same example with us, you know, since we're investing in ourselves, in developing ourselves, yes, granted, we'll probably experience lots of failures, you know?
Of course,
We'll probably do that, but you know what? Every sort of this experience just improves us, you know? It just makes us better.
It's not intuitive, but it's when you experience it, it's so obvious,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. So even from this perspective, when people are kind of trying to promote me the idea of that conventional choices are more stable and more settling and gives you more in long term, I just don't get it, because for me, it's quite the opposite. You know, if you take that conventional route, again, for 20 or 30 years, you'll be doing nothing but improving someone else's career, you know, rather than yourself.
Yes.
And if you're doing this, if you're working for yourself, there's no way that you're losing, you know, you're just improving, and there's nothing that can set you back. But, it's just more people have to acknowledge that.
And that's the thing, like, you know, there's never been, for both opportunities and drawbacks' sake, there's never been a better time to, you know, start your own business or work for yourself, whatever, however you want to talk about that. Mm-hmm. But the reason I say that is because a lot of the social safety net things like pensions and retirement plans and just, I could go on a list all day. Those things are just not, like the things that my dad got when he retired, if I started working right now, I would not have. Okay. Yeah. Just period. Yeah. Like, and again, like, again, I go back, it's something I've spent a lot of time, a lot of things I do with the People of Reason Progress, the nonprofit I'm a part of. That's a big thing I look at is automation and how that's going to affect society and things like that. Because, guys, I have news for you. Majority of people starting, this is proven in studies, majority of people going to college today, right now, are being prepared for jobs that are not going to exist when they graduate. Yeah. 4 years from that. 4 years from then. So think about that for a second. And that is why, and this is going to be, and this is a whole different topic, but that's going to have extreme consequences on society as a whole. Right now, we're talking about you as an individual. So don't just listen to your parents and these people who are older than you, because when they were going to school, when they were doing these things, the world was a different place. Jesus. It's different than it was 5 years ago. Okay? Like, the way in which that, if I tried to approach this rebrand that I've gone through with my band right now, if I try to approach that the way I did was starting my band 10 years ago, I mean, it'd be a joke. It'd be a joke. Instagram wasn't even a thing.
Yeah.
You know, Twitter was just becoming a thing. Yeah. Facebook was just becoming a thing. Spotify didn't exist in a large capacity. It was basically like iTunes and, you know, YouTube. But I mean, you can't. You have to look at things as you're moving forward and use your best estimation. So, you know, your grandfather who's 90 years old, who wants the best for you and he loves you, him telling you that you have to go to college and get a degree to become a professional musician is not right. Like, I mean, maybe in his day, but no. You got to remember, he's probably coming off the GI Bill from World War II. So, you know, and like, you know, my grandfather's like that. And my grandfather's a very smart man. He's a very good guy. But you know, you, in the same thing, like when you're standing up for yourself, you have to remember, guys, that like, it's not him that's at fault. You don't blame that person or your Uncle Joe or whoever it is, your dad, whatever, because they just see things different than you because their experience is different and they're wrong, but they're not wrong because they have malicious intent. They're wrong because they just don't understand. And that's fine, but go get the advice from the people that are already there, that are already doing it big time like you want to do it. And then work backwards from that.
Yeah.
That's about all I got left in the tank for this episode. my monster's wearing off. But, you know, I think we really hit a lot of the points I wanted to. And I don't know if you have anything else to add. So
I think that's all. The last point I just want to add is that, you know, obviously make sure to educate yourself, and just remember, you don't need to listen to your parents or grandparents' advice, but don't get mad to them for them trying to help you. You know, we are not pushing that, and I've went through that as well.
Yeah, but everybody does.
As Dev said, you know, they want the best for you, so sometimes you'll be annoyed by them or whatnot, but you should understand that they want the best for you, so just respect that as well.
Absolutely,
man. And yeah, this is the last thing I wanted to add, but yeah, I think we actually covered quite a lot of topics here successfully.
Amen,
as well.
Brother. All right, well, yeah, don't get mad at your parents. Don't get mad at your Uncle Joe. Don't get mad at your grandfather. They just want what's best for you.
Yeah.
So, you know, no matter, I wish somebody would have, you know, told me that.
Yeah.
I'm sure people did try to tell me that. I just didn't listen. But
yeah.
It'll help you in the long run, and it'll make your relationship with them better. The earlier you can understand that. So
yeah.
With that being said, as always, we're so thankful to have you guys here on the Boldcast. Yes. We're always going to do our best to dive as far in and cover these topics as best we can. So thank you for joining us on the fourth installment of the Boldcast. We will see you next time for the Boldcast number 5.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Boldcast. You can support the show by leaving a review on whatever platform you listen on. Make sure to connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. You can find us on both at the Boldcast.